Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
First pitch swinging in the air to deep left field. Happ is feeling for the wall. He's looking up. It's going to go. Waveland Avenue for Manny Machado. A two-run homer in the fifth inning. And the Padres do add on. It's 3-0. This will be the seventh pitch of the at-bat. 3-2 to Tucker. Swung on. Popped into shallow center. Merrill coming on. He's there to make the catch. And Morejon has gone 7-up, 7-down to get the Padres through 6. Base is empty, 2 outs, 3-2. Here's the pitch to Crow. Armstrong taken on the inside corner, top of the zone. Strike 3 called, and for the second consecutive day, Mason Miller strikes out the side in the 7th, getting Suzuki, Kelly, and Crow Armstrong both days. Not running the pitch. Hard hit on the ground is short. Bogarts has it. Flip to second one. Cronenworth turn is in time! And a double play to end the game.
And there will be tomorrow!
That is music to my ears. Old Don Drysdale following the classic Garve home run back in the day. And yes, there will be tomorrow. Don Drysdale, the Padres, take it over the Cubs, 3-0 today. Welcome into Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, and of course, Tony Gwynn Jr., who was sitting next to Jesse Agler when he made that great call at the end of today's game. Tony's there in Chicago. And Tony, everybody feels a lot better today, obviously.
Oh, I'm sure.
And,
I'm sure.
You know, a big relief. If Manny would ever let me get close enough, I would have given him a hug after that home run, because 1-0 just was not working for me. I don't know what everybody else was thinking out there, but when your season is on the line and all you have is a 1-run lead, and you just know that any pitch, you know, could be the one that turns the tables. Big sigh of relief for that big home run, the big fly by Manny, and terrific job all the way around. And now we're down to one game for it all, and it's pretty good.
Yes, it is indeed. I think as it turns out, that was all just all of us being in our feelings, because the Padres said, we don't care how you feel about 1-0, we're gonna throw up zeros anyway, because that's exactly what they did. They get a shutout.
Yeah,
1-0 would have worked perfectly fine in today's ball game. But I mean, just some big time performances, man. No one, based on how Dylan had pitched, saw this coming, except for Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla. They get 3 2/3 from him. And he really threw the ball as well as I can remember him throwing it all year long. It just so happens Padres are in the postseason. They just didn't have the rope to give him to continue to go. But
yeah,
he certainly looked fantastic. And look, Manny Machado, again, he always finds a way to impact it somehow. Today it's with the bat. And that set up Mike Schilt being able to attack it the way he did. Him and Ruben Niebla. Going with Morejon for a career high in outs in a ball game, he gives up nothing, zilch.
Yeah.
I mean, and finally, it seemed like a bounce went the Padres' way. I mean, literally off his foot, right to Arise for an out, and then Mason Miller. I mean, he too had been asked to do this all year.
It is just ridiculous. I mean,
he punched out
crazy.
Everybody he saw, with the exception of one, touching 104.5, which is, you rounded up, is 105. And then, you know, the cool-headed Robert Suarez to put the finishing touches on it.
Is my correct? Mason Miller faced the first eight batters he faced in this series yesterday and today, struck them all out.
Punched them.
All eight of them. And then he had the, you know, the hit by pitch, you know, got Bush on. But Miller's crazy. You know, it's going to be a big deal to see how these guys recover. I think one of the, you know, I don't want to look too far yet to tomorrow because I want to enjoy today as much as I can. But the one thing I'm looking at tomorrow is there is a staff of 5, 6, 7 people that I don't know who they are. None of the listeners know who they are. You might have met a couple of them here and there, Tony. But I'm talking about trainers. I'm talking about massage people. I'm talking about muscle people. I'm talking about whatever it's going to take to see if we can get Mortahone and Miller to come back for a third day tomorrow and pitch. And maybe they just can without that help. But, you know, it's going to take a village, I think, to get those guys if you, you know, hopefully can use them tomorrow. And I guarantee you, whatever the ice is, whatever the remedies are, whatever you've got to do, I think you try to do it because those two guys are so valuable tomorrow if you can use them.
Yeah, I don't know that that's in the cards. I mean, that's back to backs for Mortahone and Miller. They extended them pretty far. I don't know that there's an ice in the world that's going to change the fact that those guys have been pushed to their limits. Now, Mortahone, especially, I mean, he threw 33 pitches today.
Yeah.
And that's on top of the 9 he threw yesterday. He really went over 3 innings of work, basically. I mean, he started, finished off an inning, and then had 2 complete of his own. And so, I'm not saying it can't happen, but listen, there's a reason why you put everybody that you put on this roster. At some point, because listen, I don't know how long Darv is going to go tomorrow.
That's what I mean.
If the rope was as short as it was for Dylan, who I thought threw the ball as well as he had, I would imagine it's going to be the same for Darv, and that's perfectly fine. But you're certainly going to have to rely on a guy like Vasquez at some point, I'm assuming. Probably him before you go to anybody else if it's a shorter outing. So
Michael King tomorrow?
Maybe. I think you try to stay away from him if you can. You're going to want him to start that following game. And you got guys that have been pitching in these spots all year long. You can't now turn your back and say, nah, we're not going to use. You still try to find the right matchups. But, you know, Mason went as long as he had all season today. So did Adrian Mortahone. I just have a hard time seeing it. I know those guys, if they feel good enough, will make themselves available, but just prepare yourself that they may not. And you're going to have to depend on the rest of this ball club. In the same way this ball club had to kind of pick one another up today from a pitching standpoint, that's going to be relied upon tomorrow as well.
Yeah, I think, for tomorrow, if on paper the Cubs do have an edge going into the game tomorrow, it's the fact that their, standard relievers, you know, end of game guys, Palencia and Pomeranz and Keller did not pitch today, whereas all of the Padres high leverage guys did. That said, the Padres have on their team the best players we've ever seen in a Padre uniform. We don't want to say it often enough because we're busy complaining about him way too much.
Facts.
But Manny Machado was interviewed in the dugout by TV, Tony, a little bit after the home run. And one of the things he said is, you know, I don't sit on pitches. Because the question to him was, were you waiting for that first pitch splitter?
Split, yeah.
Manny said, I don't swing at pitches. I don't sit on pitches. But he also said, it's what he threw me the last time up. It's what he threw me this season when I faced him in a key spot. And he's just so smart. And he couldn't have been swinging a whole lot worse going into that. He had a big strikeout early in the game, etc. But when the moment matters, that's the guy you want up. And
every time,
you know, I don't know that he didn't set Imanaga up, but he certainly outsmarted him, I think. And
no,
you know,
listen, that's good hitters don't necessarily, they don't sit on pitches very often. You know, good hitters react to what they see.
Yeah,
it's in his database. He knows his dudes. When we get into these spots, man, that split is up. That split is coming out. Now the question is, can I get him to get it up? Because when he throws it down, it's his pitch. It's a good pitch.
Right.
But he left that split. He left the splitter up. And listen, the Padres had they had pitches to hit today that were, you know, center cut, and they fouled them off. Manny didn't foul his off. He got his pitch and first pitch, and he damn near hit it out of the stadium.
It was
very last row in left field, kind of wind crossing it basically. But yeah, man, you don't want anybody better up in those spots, man. You just
probably don't remember the play he tried to make in front of third base, but that was a hell of an effort. And he's just that second. Fernando had his game. Leadoff single, had to start us with a good frame of mind. Nobody stole third base more than he did this year in all of baseball. I'm surprised that the Cubs maybe didn't pay a little closer attention. Maybe they thought with a left-handed batter he wouldn't try it.
Let me tell you what happened.
Tell me what happened.
Because he stole, I think it was on the fifth pitch.
Yeah, it was late in the at-bat, yeah.
The first two times he was getting antsy. And I think he sensed that he may be tipping them off. Because for the next two pitches after that, he was silent. Like, he didn't move.
Huh.
Like, he took his secondary, but he stopped, like, bouncing around. He just kind of sat there. And I think those two pitches where he did that, after kind of being all over the place,
got them off the scent.
Kind of got them off the scent.
Yeah.
And the very next pitch, he did his shuffle, and kudos to Arise for being ready on the backside, because
right,
that's certainly the next spot the catcher is looking. But he got such a good jump. I think Carson ended up rushing it, didn't even get the grip on it. They steal it. And that was one of the ways that they picked each other up, right? Because Manny didn't move him on that next at bat after they go single.
Right.
And so it's first and second, one out, you know? And so Tim and Luis taking second and third.
Huge.
Just huge. It made the job so much easier for Jackson, who hit a ball that on a normal day probably is a homer, but that wind was blowing straight in from right field, kind of knocked it down, and they get their first run. And from there, they handed it off to Dylan Cease for a few innings, who was as good as he was all season.
It's probably as good of a performance as you're ever going to see for 3 2/3 innings of a game.
Yeah. Yep.
It really was, and you know, I couldn't be happier for Cease.
If it was the regular season, he's still pitching.
Oh yeah, no, he goes nine, maybe.
What we do know, and Greg Council hit on this yesterday, is that the difference is that you just the leash is not long. Like you don't let anything go as long as you do in the regular season.
Well, he threw some beautiful sliders, I'll tell you that, and they couldn't touch him. So, you know, kudos to Cease, the bullpen, and Manny and Fernando. I don't want to forget about Fernando's catch in the eighth inning.
How about Bogey's double play ball, though?
Well, I was going to save that for last because that finished the game. But, yeah, both the eighth and ninth innings ended with really sterling defense.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard that catch was for Fernando to make, but I know that there aren't many guys who would have caught that.
Let me tell you, Chris, that ball, I'm almost positive he didn't see it for a second. When he put his hand up in the sun, that sun is either peering through the bottom of, you know, through the stands, or it's just before it's setting at the top of the roof. And his athleticism, he's long. I mean, that certainly helps on that particular play, but he got a great jump. And he's been that way all season long, playing that position.
Yeah, because that ball falls in, they probably get a run, and they get the tying run to the plate. So
yeah, the pressure starts to mount at that point.
Yeah, great play. And then the last double play, first of all, the ground ball almost knocked Bogaerts over, so he has to really hang tough to field that. And then allow me to say, for probably too many times, I don't think the analytics discuss how quick Jake Cronenworth turns a double play. Because those were
fast hands, baby. He got rid of that bad boy quick. I mean, can we show Bogey some love, man? He is gritting it out right down with this broken foot. You can tell he's not 100% right, but my man is laying out infield hits. He's probably the one who swung the bat and barreled up the most baseballs in this series so far, and he's been fantastic on defense, including that last play. That is a nasty in-between hop that you got to feel cleanly in order to even have a shot to get the double, and he made a terrific play there at the end.
Well, yeah, it was good for all three players. I mean, Cronenworth's turn, a rise stretch for everything he's worth to finish that game off. 3-0, Padres put this one in the books and even the series at 1-1. Cleveland earlier today did the same thing. They beat Detroit 6-1. So those two teams will play tomorrow morning. We still don't have a time for the Padre game tomorrow. And I know everybody wants to know because
Let me take out the Enigma code that I need.
Well, that's
to
what
decode.
I mean. You're going to need an abacus to figure this all out. But I think we're either at 1208, 208, 308, or 438.
Nice job, Chris. That's true.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it all depends on what happens with the Red Sox and the Yankees, who are tied at 3 right now in the 6th inning, and then it matters what happens later with the Dodgers and the Reds. So we're not going to really know until the end of the Dodger game tonight exactly time the Padres will play.
Yeah, I think Trevor Story just tied it with a dinger.
Well, he had a 2-run single earlier to tie it.
He did tie it up.
And then Story homer. So he's got all 3 RBIs, the former Rocky, has made it 3-3. In the bottom of the 5th inning, Judge had put the Yankees ahead with a soft line drive to left field that Jaron Duran raced in and dropped. They gave him a hit because it's baseball.
Of course they did.
Was a play that anybody should have made, and I'm sure Jaron Duran thought he should have made it, but they gave Judge an RBI. Earlier in the game, Rice hit a 2-run homer for the Yankees. So they're 3-3 in the 6th. Of course, the Yankees are the ones facing elimination in that one. All right, Mike Schilt, here's the thing. You and I talk about this a lot, and then I want to get into Craig Counsell's decision, because thank goodness, Tony, you and I, for the moment, are not in Chicago and having to try to defend that to the fans, because I'm sure they are losing it in Chicago today. But we'll get to him in a minute. Mike Schilt did absolutely perfect today, and he had the right feel. I thought it took some guts to put the go-ahead run on base, even in the 4th inning. But he set up Morejon to get the lefty. That worked. And as you and I have said so many times, the manager always looks like he knows what he's doing when the relievers all come in and do their job. And so Mike Schilt looked great today. And I'm happy for him.
Yeah, no, he did. They executed the game plan. And the guys came in and did their job. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And the right timing, it seemed like, on everybody. He stretched when he needed to. He cut bait when he needed to. It was, when players perform,
right?
Everybody looks brilliant.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was no different than how everybody was talking about Craig Counsell after game one. Right?
He was smart yesterday, but boy, what a dummy he was today.
That's how it goes.
Here, I'll tell you what Chicago fans are really
mad at. I can't imagine what they're saying.
I have a tweet that I saved for this reason.
Can you say it on air?
Yeah, it's not like that, but I don't know who this is, but they're a Cubs fan. We're going to start an opener because we're terrified of Shota versus Tatis and Machado. Didn't work. Man on second, two out left on deck, and you let the matchup you were terrified of play out in a huge spot? I am baffled. So there's Chicago fans.
Well,
that's actually a well thought out tweet.
I'm sure many of them are much meaner than that. But, I was happy that he went ahead and faced Manny there. He could have walked him. He could have faced Merrill lefty on lefty. He chose to face Manny. They asked Manny about it. in the interview, which he, you know, graciously did in the dugout after his home run, Tony, and he said, I don't know, I think I would have pitched to me there too, the way I've been swinging it. So, I mean, Manny kind of made a joke about himself there. But
he's not lying, though.
Yeah.
That ultimately is, I'm almost positive that that factored into why they pitched to him there. I take you back, and this is just goes to show you, like, it's time, it's place.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just going to go way, way back to last year.
Okay. When,
there was a game in which they intentionally walked Luis Arraez to face Fernando Tatis Jr.
And this was the Cubs who did that?
I don't remember who the team was. The team is irrelevant.
Okay.
The point is, Luis Arraez was Luis Arraez last year, right? This was a dude that teams didn't want to deal with. They'd rather deal with Tati, right? And Tati ended up burning him even that night. But this year, it was completely flipped, right? They're not gonna face Tati. They're gonna face Arraez, and it's the same thing that they're looking at there as you're facing Machado. Like, he has not looked, you know, great so far in the series. I would say Jackson Merrill has looked a lot better. He's swung the bat a lot better, and they made that decision there. I mean, you know, it burned him, and so he looks like the doofus today. Yesterday, as you said,
the doofus. Kind thing that Cub phone callers are saying right about now. You know, Craig Council was a doofus out there.
Yeah, he was the man. He was the man yesterday, though. So, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, the opener, I guess it worked. I mean, he gave up a run, so that was a big deal. I hate the opener anyway. I wish the Padres would have scored 7 runs in the first inning, but it looks like tomorrow.
See, I think.
Go ahead.
I don't think it worked. When you think about yesterday's game,
right?
Kittredge was one of their high leverage arms.
Yeah,
he pitched
that's right.
The 8th inning of that ball game, and so they started him today, and the Padres got one off, and that's a confidence booster. That's one guy you know that. Yeah. They thought highly enough of that they used him in the 8th inning of game 1, and then they ran him back out, and you got to him. And so that's one guy that you can take, in, at least mentally, feel like, oh, we already got to you once. We can get to you again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do tomorrow with their bullpen. I do think that they, you know, at least on paper, have a few more, you know, fresh selections. When you consider both Keller and Pomerantz and also Palencia didn't pitch today. But the starters have been announced. It will be Darvish, as we knew, and it will be Jameson Taillon, an actual starting pitcher, pitching for the Cubs. And he is
Tony
a right-hander.
Says, I don't know what that was, Tony.
Well, I think he's pretty good, right? He's not exactly a pushover.
No, I didn't know which way they were going to go.
So, oh, yeah. They're going with him.
I hadn't heard that yet.
Okay, I hadn't heard. Yeah, they're going with him. And, you know, look, the one thing it does do for Mike Schilt and the Padres is it, you know, takes out of play at least the first time through the order the 6-7-8 conundrum, because the lefties will get to face a right-hander early in the game tomorrow.
That's how it goes.
Here, I'll tell you what Chicago fans are really
mad
at.
I can't imagine what they're saying.
I have a tweet that I saved for this reason.
Can you say it on air?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that. But I don't know who this is, but they're a Cubs fan. We're going to start an opener because we're terrified of Shota versus Tatis and Machado. Didn't work. Man on second, 2 out left on left, on deck, and you let the matchup you were terrified of play out in a huge spot? I am baffled. So there's Chicago fans.
Well,
that's actually a well thought out tweet.
I'm sure many of them are much meaner than that. But, you know, I was happy that he went ahead and faced Manny there. He could have walked him. He could have faced Merrill lefty on lefty. He chose to face Manny. They asked Manny about it in the interview, which he, you know, graciously did in the dugout after his home run, Tony. And he said, I don't know. I think I would have pitched to me there, too, the way I've been swinging it. So, I mean, Manny kind of made a joke about himself there. But
he's not lying, though.
Yeah.
That ultimately is, I'm almost positive that that factored into why they pitched to him there. I take you back. And this is just goes to show you, like, it's time, it's place.
You got your time.
Yeah, we're just going to go way, way back to last year.
Okay. When,
there was a game in which they intentionally walked Luis Arraez to face Fernando Tatis Jr.
And this was the Cubs who did that?
No, I don't remember who the team was. The team is irrelevant.
Okay.
The point is, Luis Arraez was Luis Arraez last year, right? This was a dude that teams didn't want to deal with. They'd rather deal with Tati, right? And Tati ended up burning him even that night. But this year, it was completely flipped, right? They're not gonna face Tati. They're gonna face Arraez, and it's the same thing that they're looking at there as you're facing Machado. Like, he has not looked, you know, great so far in the series. I would say Jackson Merrill has looked a lot better. He's swung the bat a lot better. And they made that decision there. I mean, you know, it burned him. And so he looks like the doofus today. Yesterday, as you said.
The doofus. Kind thing that Cub phone callers are saying right about now. You know, Craig Council was a doofus last night. Out there.
Yeah, he was the man. He was the man yesterday, though. So, that's how it goes.
Yeah, the opener, I guess it worked. I mean, he gave up a run, so that was a big deal. I hate the opener anyway. I wish the Padres would have scored 7 runs in the first inning, but it looks like tomorrow.
See, I think.
Go ahead.
I don't think it worked. When you think about yesterday's game,
right?
Kittredge was one of their high leverage arms.
Yeah,
he pitched
that's right.
The 8th inning of that ball game, and so they started him today, and the Padres got one off, and that's a confidence booster. That's one guy you know that. Yeah. They thought highly enough of that they used him in the 8th inning of game 1, and then they ran him back out, and you got to him. And so that's one guy that you can take, in, at least mentally, feel like, oh, we already got to you once. We can get to you again.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the Cubs do tomorrow with their bullpen. I do think that they, you know, at least on paper, have a few more, fresh selections. When you consider both Keller and Pomerantz and also Palencia didn't pitch today. But the starters have been announced. It will be Darvish, as we knew, and it will be Jameson Taillon, an actual starting pitcher, pitching for the Cubs. And he is
Tony
a right-hander.
Says, I don't know what that was, Tony.
Well, I think he's pretty good, right? He's not exactly a pushover.
I didn't know which way they were going to go.
So, oh yeah, they're going with him.
I hadn't heard that yet.
Okay, I hadn't heard. Yeah, they're going with him. And you know, look, the one thing it does do for Mike Schilt and the Padres is it, you know, takes out of play at least the first time through the order the 6-7-8 conundrum, because the lefties will get to face a right-hander early in the game tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This was a game you had to win to see tomorrow. What was this team's mindset entering today?
27 outs. You know, 27 outs. Worry about that and go out there and, pull for each other, keep passing the baton like we did, and keep playing our baseball we've been doing all year.
You said 27 outs. Before we get to what you did, how about what the pitching did? Adrian Morejon, Mason Miller, Robert Suarez, your thoughts on how they contributed today?
I mean, they carried us, man. They've been doing it all year, and you see it here. Continues to do it. I mean, it was a hell of a job. Sees through the ball really well today. Picked it off back to Morejon. Morejon threw 3 for us. Mason came in there and threw 2. You know, and then obviously Bob at the end there. It was just unbelievable job. They've been doing it all year.
Your home run against Imanaga, a first pitch splitter. You were ready for it. What worked in that at bat?
That it went over the fence. Just glad I was able to contribute today.
A big game tomorrow, decisive game three. What will you think about as you head into tomorrow?
Same thing. Get ready for tomorrow and go out there and try to play 27 outs.
Manny, congratulations on a big win. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Who's Bob? No, I know who it is, but
I like
we've never
called him
Bob before. Robert Suarez is Bob.
I feel more comfortable with Bob coming in over
Robert.
Yeah,
Bob did a great job. So did Manuel there, Manuel Machado.
Yes.
Sammy Leavitt on the post-game interview at Wrigley Field. Manny, if you're just tuned in, two-run homer gave the Padres a little breathing room after they had scratched across a run in the top of the first inning on a sac fly by Jackson Merrill. Fernando helped set that up with a stolen base of third, putting him in position to come in on that sac fly. And that was it. Offensively, Padres, just like yesterday, I mean, this would be a whole different tune, Scraby, had they lost, but it would have been a familiar tune.
Yeah.
It would have been, how many chances did they blow? We were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The Padres were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. The only one was the Manny home run.
It's all that matters.
Well, today it was all that mattered, but it's, you know, inning after inning, first and second, one out. You know, runner at second, leadoff runner. Fermin doubles. He never came in. It was that, you know, one of those. 1-for-11. But
that's
Manny's one was
year,
enough today.
So I guess we just got to get used to it. Even though it's the most frustrating, annoying thing ever.
I saw a stat today that really, I feel like they're going to have to overcome this. But of the 12 teams in the playoffs, the Padres had the third worst batting average with runners in scoring position. And also out of the 12, they hit the fewest home runs. So how do you score? Like, you can't score.
Manufacture.
Right. I mean, you can't score if you don't have a home run or hit with runners in scoring position. Somehow the Padres have to keep finding a way. And because Darvish is going to pitch tomorrow. If Darvish gives me 7 shutout innings, great. I'll be the happiest guy in the world. So will everybody else out there. But I don't think you can expect that. Hopefully we can get 6, give up a couple. You know, the Cubs should get a couple. You know, Darv is good for at least one homer. Hopefully nobody will be on base. But the Padres are going to have to score tomorrow. I'm just convinced. They're going to have to get 5 or 6 to win tomorrow.
Yeah.
I feel that way. Maybe not, but I feel like tomorrow they're going to have to get some, you know, crooked number or two if they're going to win this series. Now, here's another thing you're going to hear between now and tomorrow. No team has ever come from behind in the wild card round after losing the first game to win the last two.
That's my least favorite stat of all time.
Here's one you like, though. 8 times this regular season, this season, the Padres lost the first game of a 3-game series and won the next two. They did it 8 times. 5 of those times were after the All-Star break, and 3 of those 5 were on the road. So they've been doing this, and they've done it quite often just during the regular season. You lose one, you win two. So, and then, you know, it's got to do it again.
I hate, and when I say it's my least favorite stat ever, it's not anything to do with the actual stat. It's that
it just
it's only happened since 2022. If this was a 100-year-old stat, then it would be something that I would pay attention to.
And no one in 309 chances has ever done it.
Yeah, that's a better sample.
Then
everybody
you're good.
Yells at me about sample size.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is not a big enough sample size.
Well, look, prior to today, only 2 teams had ever forced a game 3. Well, guess what? Both teams today forced a game 3.
Yeah.
So you can take that stat and park it somewhere.
Yeah, park it. I was going to say something
else. Not going to do you any good.
I was going to say something else.
So anyway, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening tonight. The Red Sox would love to eliminate the Yankees. Boston has come from behind twice in this game. Trevor Story, both times. A 2-run single tied the game. And solo homer tied the game. And now Boston's batting in the top of the 7th, tied at 3 at Yankee Stadium. If the Red Sox win, they go to Toronto for the second round.
It's an all-AL East affair.
It's an all-AL East side of the bracket, right? You got the Red Sox and the Yankees, and the winner plays Toronto. So that's all an AL East bracket there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other American League is still going because Cleveland got 5 runs in the 8th inning. It was a 1-1 game until then. Brian Rocchio, Rocchio. My God, where'd he come from? 4 hits and a solo homer. And then Bo Naylor, Josh's little bro, hit a 3-run homer, both in the 8th inning. Cleveland pulled away to beat Detroit 6-1. They'll play their game 3 tomorrow.
How about this, Chris? I got to get the guy's name right because I want to make sure I do. He made his major league debut in center field today.
For
the Guardians.
Like the first game he's ever played in his life?
He made his major league debut today.
Yeah, I've not heard of him.
He apparently was just crushing AAA Chase, in minor league all year.
Chase DeLauter.
Yeah, so they put him in center field. Do you have the stats in front of you?
He was 0 for 2 with a walk.
All right. Well, that's...
But he got in there.
He did. Can you imagine? I know Ryan Weathers did it, but that was completely different because it was a COVID season and there were no fans.
This is so weird that these teams get into the... Well, look, Luis Camposano's on the Padre roster. We haven't seen him yet.
I haven't seen Maldonado either.
No, but Luis can still be the hero of the series.
He could be. He can't walk it off like I thought once.
No,
but
he will not be able to walk it off, but he could put you ahead with a big hit somewhere tomorrow. So, yeah, the playoffs, they always say the old saying, the playoffs make strange bedfellows, I think they say. Which means strange people are connected to other things and people.
All right. I just thought that was kind of crazy that he made his major league debut in the playoffs in game 2 in an elimination game.
Yeah. Don't sweat it. Season's on the line.
But hey,
you mind coming in and playing a little center field for us today?
Not to mention how often has he played or taken fly ball? He's never played in center field during a game in Cleveland. But how has he taken fly ball?
He also, according to this story, was a one of their top prospects had wrist surgery, I guess, 2 months ago. According to this.
There's someone on the chat. Nima, I met at Park 101, which we'll talk about in just a second. He dropped. This rookie, a routine fly ball in the first inning, bounced right off his glove.
Oh, today? So
there was a little bit of nerves, I bet.
Wow. And the ball always finds you.
Yes, always. It's uncanny.
Right. If you have never played left field, the first ball hit will come to you in left field.
Maybe the second ball, too.
It's guaranteed. All right, just real quick, 3-3, top of the 7th. Boston up, 2 outs, bases loaded, and who's up but Trevor Story, who already has a 2-run single and a solo home run. He has a chance to put the Red Sox ahead of the Yankees. He's facing Cruz, the right-handed reliever for New York. And we'll try to get you a result of that at bat here in a moment.
Yeah, let's talk about Park 101 real quick.
Yeah, we really owe it to Robert and Doug. Rob and Doug, who had us all up there, they run the place.
Bob?
Yeah. And they, or Robert Suarez or Bob, yeah. That they did a great job and run a great place.
Seriously. Scrape. Never been there before.
Give me a rundown because you really walked all over.
Oh, I walked everywhere. It was a massive place. There was an upstairs with a bunch of tables and a bunch of TVs. There was a bar upstairs as well. There was a bar, obviously, downstairs. There was a huge seating area in front of their big screen.
Yeah.
Which... you couldn't find a seat if you got there late because everyone filled.
People showed up, man. You guys all showed out. We really appreciate it. There was no room to move. But you bring this up. That was a good point you just made. A lot of times a place will have a big screen and, wow, Story hit it.
I thought he hit a home run.
He had 406 feet, but you needed 408.
Oh, man, this guy is losing
his pitcher's losing his mind that he just gave up a 406-foot fly ball.
Yeah, calm down, bro.
Yeah, easy does it. Grisham caught it.
So, well, he's still screaming.
Yeah,
that's embarrassing.
It's a little much. 3-3. Yankees now coming up in the bottom of the 7th in that one. But back to Park 101. You're right. Great place. And how often have you been to one of these places where everybody's outside, there's a TV, but you can't really see it? Because there's no angles to it.
A glare or something.
This was perfect for a lot of people. Like a bunch of people could watch the game sitting outside. And so we had a great time. I want to thank, you all for coming out and all the people who came up and said hello and took photos. And we appreciate all that. It's also was a pretty good drive for some people. Not everybody lives in North County. So thank you for everyone who came up.
Seriously.
Went a little out of your way to watch the game with us today. That was great. I know that a lot of the people that won prizes were really happy. Like, there were really big Padre fans who won, like, the Jake Ball and the jerseys and all the stuff we were giving away. So the fans, I think you guys, you know, had a good time. It looked like everybody's having a good time. But also, you know, how about our promotion staff was up there doing a good job. Adam Klug was holding court. Michael Valenzuela, our market manager, he was up there before I was. I mean, he couldn't wait for the game.
I felt a little inadequate when
you showed up. Well, yeah, you're like the last one to show up. He comes slinking in. Michael Valenzuela. Oh, nice of you to get here, Scrape.
It was,
No, but so
I saw people... Like, when I was driving in, I saw people walking from blocks away.
Yes. The
parking was tough.
It's not Park 101's fault, but, yeah, the parking was not great.
But, hey, everybody made it there. I want to shout out Alisa, who is, she was there. She said she is stuck in traffic, I believe. So
coming home?
She said it was worth it.
Yeah, so it was. Alisa, thank you for heading up. Just relax. Listen to the show. We'll get you home here this evening. But honestly, I don't know how these things work, Scraby, but I think we should call them and all come up there again tomorrow. And I know we're not because it's all...
Yeah, don't say that because people
are
expecting
it. I know, people will show up. I know, but it was so fun. It was such a good setting. I actually got to hang for quite a while, which I've not done before.
I was shocked at how late, because Chris is not much of a... A stay long guy.
No, I had to get back because of our show, and I didn't want to sit in traffic like Alisa is right
now. Because it really terrible.
No, but what I was going to say is I sat next to for four innings, probably as much time as I've ever spent with him in my life, was Woodsy.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a great time.
Yeah,
Woodsy's
great.
Awesome. And he was just sweating the game out.
He really was.
He was cursing. He was, you know, yelling at Dylan Cease. And so Woodsy's so fun to watch the game with. I don't really get a chance to... You know, spend a lot of time with Woods. They do their morning thing. Yep, we do our afternoon thing. Our paths don't cross all that often.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
I loved his shirt. Was amazing. I can't.
You want to tell us what it said?
It said.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You're gonna do it? I don't think you should. I think you should maybe write it down and hold up the piece of paper and let people look at it on. And make their own judgment if they want to look at it on YouTube. There was
no bad language, but
it was certainly referring to bad language.
I'm sure he's got a picture. Go to @TheStephenWoods on X. Go to his Instagram. I'm sure there's a picture up. I'm sure he's worn it on the show before, but it was a great shirt. And Chris is saving my job right now. So
I know what it had to do with. It had to do with Jackson Merrill did yesterday and what Luis Arraez did today.
Which... I think Jackson said after the game, because I thought about this a lot last night, Jackson said after the game, hey, people are going to disagree with what I did, but I did it because I wanted to move the runners over. I'm fine. If you have like if you're convinced in your decision, then I'm good with it. But yesterday I was not, and I think that was maybe misplaced because they lost.
Arraez bunted today. I'm 99% sure he was trying to pull that ball and bunt for a hit. It rolled back to the pitcher. It looked like a sacrifice. But I don't have a problem with somebody trying to bunt for a hit. So that was different. But anyway, Woodsy's t-shirt had to do with that. Gwen and Chris, we take a little break. Some NFL news, and we'll keep you up to date with the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Reds play at the top of the hour. The Padres will play again after beating the Cubs 3-0 today. Stick around for some traffic.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5:24 the time. Chris, Scraby, Tony, Gwynn and Chris, 97.3 the fan. Padres, 3. Cubs, nothing. Game 2 in the books. And so we will have Game 3. Tomorrow, we do not know the time. And we don't even really have it narrowed down.
Well, when this game is over, we'll
when this game between the Red Sox and Yankees is over, we will have a better idea. But honestly, we will not know the exact time of the Padre game until the Dodgers and Reds are done playing tonight.
Okay, so when the Reds win.
Okay, well, I hope you're right. But, I mean, if the Reds win, then it'll be a certain time. But if the Dodgers win, it'll be a certain other time.
Yeah.
But as it stands now, 12:08, 2:08, 3:08, or 4:38.
Yep.
Those are your four choices for tomorrow's start time. And those are Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
Times.
Yes, they are.
We already know that Cleveland and Detroit will play a game 3 tomorrow, and we know the Padres will play one. What we don't know is whether the Red Sox will eliminate the Yankees and whether or not the Dodgers will. By the way, the Dodgers were so annoying to just sit back and watch them. As you said earlier to me, they basically homered on every pitch they saw.
Every time I looked up at the screen last night, it was one of them.
And they're just doing this little wavy dance thing.
Oh, it's so annoying, especially after the Padres lose and you just see this beatdown and Blake Snell being great.
Oh, Blake Snell was dealing. Yeah, they couldn't have hit him with a rake last night. Anyway, it was 8-2, 10-2.
Yeah.
But then the Dodger bullpen came in and it got interesting. So I don't know what they're going to do about their bullpen, but because it got to 10-5, bases loaded. And I thought, wait, one more hit here and it could get really interesting. But Dodgers win game 1. Yankees and Red Sox, real quick, because just so you know, in other series, they have decisions that the managers have to make.
Oh, Aaron Boone is being crushed for his Max Fried last night.
Crushed for taking Max Fried out, although he had thrown 102 pitches.
I think Max Fried said after the game he wanted to go.
There's no way he should have taken him out. He'd already decided. That was the problem. And, they weren't touching him. Yankees bullpen did not hold on. But tonight, earlier in the game, Yankees had runner at second with 2 out, Aaron Judge up at the plate. First base open. And I'm thinking, you got to walk Aaron Judge. He's the best hitter in baseball.
Yep.
Can't pitch to him. But they did. And he did a soft line drive that we mentioned earlier. Duran, the left fielder for the Red Sox, I thought should have caught it, kind of diving forward, but he didn't. He dropped it. They gave Judge a hit. Yankees got the lead. Red Sox tie it up. Same scenario, the last inning. Judge is up again. Runner at second, first base open. I'm like, what are they doing? Now, they struck him out this time. But to me, that's really playing with fire. I don't know that Mike Schilt would do that or Craig Counsell or a lot of guys. I know Bellinger's on deck. He's good.
Yeah.
But he's not Aaron Judge. Judge is like superhuman almost as a hitter.
He is, and the playoffs really just make me so antsy to begin
They're
with.
They're so antsy, all right?
Like, I was talking to some people upstairs at Park 101, and it seemed like every fly ball was a home run. All of us were, like, freaking out about it.
Yeah.
The entire game.
Well, I said it yesterday during the notes on a scorecard, but I believe it. In playoff baseball, especially when it's a close game, ball 3 is the beginning of a rally.
And
you can see it.
Yeah.
The count goes to 3-1. Everyone in the crowd stands up and goes crazy.
It's crazy how
I love playoff baseball.
It's crazy how much pitch by pitch it matters.
It really does.
And all season, we do not watch that way.
Yeah, you don't worry about it so much. But in the playoffs, if there's a 2-1 pitch and it's close and the ump goes, ball 3. Yeah!
Ah!
Right. You're just, especially when you're leading 1-0. And like the Padres were today until Manny hit the home run. Oh, Manny, God love you.
Yes.
For that. I mean, we, you know, because were you going to make it to the nine innings with a 1-0 lead? I wasn't.
I was I was about to keel over.
I was too. I needed a little breathing room, thankfully.
So someone on the chat is saying, so who was doubting Dylan Cease? And that's fine. I think I should talk about that real quick because I was doubting Dylan Cease.
Who wasn't doubting Dylan
Cease?
There
were some people out there that were telling me to keep the faith, and I appreciate those people, but
okay.
You can't tell me there was some nerves going into this game, and you can't tell me that you weren't thinking, why is he still in this game when Michael Bush came up for the second time?
There was many of us at Park 101 who were questioning it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Dylan Cease was 8-12 this year with a 4.55 ERA. His whip of 1.327 was one of the worst in the National League. I'm just saying. He also won only one game on the road all year. And this was a road game last I checked. So,
unless you're talking to me, and then I think it's a home game.
Right, yes. You think they could get a walk-off.
Yeah, yeah.
But the point being, yes, it was a serious roll of the dice with Dylan Cease, not based on Dylan Cease last year, but based on Dylan Cease this year. His away statistics, 1-9 with a 5.58 ERA, and a whip of 1.376, which, as I said, is one of the worst you could have in National League. And he came through.
He did.
I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, that was incredible.
But to say to Scraby, well, how could anybody be worried? That's how anybody could be worried.
And I don't mind, because I know, there were people that reached out yesterday and said, hey, man, you need to be a little bit... Dylan Cease is a great pitcher. He's got a great fastball. He's got a great slider. He's got it all.
Well, who doesn't?
And my response was, have you seen him pitch this year? He could pitch great sometimes, and he can pitch terribly sometimes.
There's no... I don't think you can argue the fact that Dylan Cease was a roll of the dice. And I don't think they would have even rolled the dice with him had Michael King made it back 100%. And that's why when you talk about tomorrow, people are saying, well, we got Michael King. I don't know that you do. I don't know. I haven't been told.
No, we haven't. But
he's on the roster, but
what are you going to get from him? Like, that's
I don't know that he's going to pitch in this series. I think you're going to have to hope that he's better next series and maybe can start Saturday game one in Milwaukee. But I just don't think they think Michael King is right yet. And I am worried about what Tony said. He doubts that either Mortahone or Miller will be available tomorrow.
I know.
And honestly, that's like going into a rock fight with both hands tied behind your back. That's not going to be easy. Those two guys are way too crucial. They combined for 4 innings of shutout baseball today.
Yeah.
Can they come back? To me, I at least have to ask Mason Miller, how do you feel? And if he says, I'm good, then I'm going to check with the doctor and the strength people and the massage therapist and all, everybody and say, hey, is he good? And if they all give a thumbs up, man, there's a long time to rest in the offseason. I'm pitching him tomorrow if I have to.
I mean, I think it's all how the game goes.
I know, but you know how it's going to go, right?
It's going to be 1-0 until
the
fifth inning.
It's going to be even or 3-2 or something.
I did hear Mike Schilt say in the press conference after, because someone asked him, are these guys available? And he said, listen, it's an elimination game. They're never off the table, but we also have to keep them healthy for the long run.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm still checking in on it.
Yes.
And if they can't go, they can't. But I'm going to...
You would like a 104.5 mile an hour pitch?
Followed by a 101 mile one that goes like this.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
yeah,
Seiya Suzuki had no shot at that 103 up and
none
in.
None of them did.
It was great.
I can't blame any of them.
It was incredible.
They asked Carson Kelly, by the way, who faced Miller yesterday with the shadows.
Mm.
I don't know if you heard him. Carson Kelly said flat out, first time in my career, I could not see the ball.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Couldn't see it.
That's crazy.
And that's got to be an unsettling feeling.
Yeah. I would not. You cannot pay me enough to get in the box with a shadow and Mason Miller on the mound. Are you kidding me?
Mason's a nice guy. He wouldn't stick one in your ear.
No, no.
But if it got away, you'd be in big trouble.
I would be dead.
We'd be dead.
It would be dead.
All right, we'll take a break. Sammy's going to join us. Sammy Levitt in Chicago. We're also, before we get done at 7 o'clock, going to hear from Manny. We're going to hear from Cease. What else are we going to hear from?
We also have a big five.
Okay.
For the end of the show.
Good.
Just,
got to catch you up on everything together. Else that's happening. So stick around. More Gwen and Chris. Bonus till 7 after the Padres won today.
I didn't put you back in program.
Oh. All right. Here we are. Chrisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Chicago.
Chicago.
And he's not coming home yet. We won't let him come home.
Yeah.
He's not only staying, he's going to Milwaukee after the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sorry, Quinn family. You're going to have to sacrifice.
Yes. I think they will,
Pops
too.
Will be home after game two Monday night.
That sounds good to me, Chris.
Me too. The second round series, by the way, the schedule for that is bordering on asinine. I don't get it, how you can play a five-game series with three off days. But that's what they have scheduled for the, I'm going to call it, the Padre-Brewer series. It'll be the same for the Cub-Brewer series
okay,
as well.
Thank you for saying both
teams. Whoever plays the Brewers, they're going to play Saturday and Monday. Then they're going to take Tuesday off, play Wednesday, Thursday, take Friday off, go back to Milwaukee. That's a lot of off time, and it's going to be I guess it'll be beneficial to the Padres
in the
sense that they'll be able to use Miller every game and more to hone every game, right? Because they'll
that's
have
what
the,
they
the rest.
That's what they wanted. Well, they wanted better pitching.
Yeah, but they're not doing that in every series. They only happen to be doing it in that particular series.
Let me look.
In the second round. So thank you very much, Major League Baseball. And hopefully the Padres will take full advantage of it. Earlier today, Cleveland beat Detroit 6-1. The big shot was Brian Ruccio. A solo shot broke a 1-1 tie in the bottom of the eighth for Cleveland. Bo Naylor would follow with a 3-run homer also in that eighth inning. And the Guardians win it 3-1. Dylan Cease, by the way, shouldn't feel alone. The Guardians starter, Tanner Bibee, 4 2/3 inning, struck out 6. Out of the game he came.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Mize, starter for Detroit, 3 innings, 1 hit he allowed. Out of the game he came. So, you know, starting pitchers are just worthless, it seems like, almost. Unless you're Garrett Crochet or Scooble.
Or Max Fried, I guess.
Yeah, Fried. Well,
he went six plus.
He didn't quite make plus. 7. If he'd have made 7, the Yankees might have won the game.
Can I file away a rule that I don't like? Okay. Under the same rules, like the ground rule double doesn't score a guy from first.
Right, you have to stop at third.
You have to stop at third. How about the winning pitcher being the guy who comes in the game?
Gets a couple outs.
Like, Maury Hill gets the win. And Dylan Cease doesn't. Dylan Cease was in the game longer than Maury Hill. I think that pitcher, I know that they have to go a certain amount of
innings.
Well,
they used to, look, when they put it in, the all-time reason for what you're saying is the starting pitcher has to go 5 to even be considered.
Which is crazy, because a guy could throw one pitch and get the win.
Well, here's the thing. When they made the rule, starting pitchers always threw 5 innings, at least.
Okay, there you go.
Now, it might be worth revisiting. Because a lot of starting pitchers don't go 5 because the bullpens are so prevalent. As a matter of fact, Mortahone got 13 wins this year because he would come into the game in the 5th inning and the starter couldn't be given the win. So Mortahone would get it. So you're right. I think that's something they ought to look at. The highlight of the Guardian-Tiger game, though, was the first inning. Chase DeLauder, if you've never heard of him, neither had the people in Cleveland. He made his major league debut today for Cleveland, and I guess in the first inning they hit a fly ball to him and he dropped it.
Yeah.
First ball he ever came to him in the major leagues.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
But he did come back and throw out a base runner later in the game at third base, and in the end Cleveland was able to win 6-1. Meanwhile, Yankees Quick update of just taking the lead 4-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning. Austin Wells, RBI double. So Yankees are three outs away from evening that series. Speaking of even series, that's what we have in Chicago, and that's where Sam Leavitt is. Sam, before we go anything, because people with us want to know last night where you and I left off, did you get the necessary parts yesterday, last night, from the Chicago area guitar store, wherever it was you went, to be comfortably on the air today?
Well, number one, it was Best Buy, and
Best
number
Buy,
two,
yeah.
Yes, I did. I got the necessary cord and dongle, and it worked perfectly today. It was all operative. We had a flawless YouTube stream, so I will be expensing that to the company. And yes, it all worked beautifully today. A beautiful game, a beautiful stream, and everything is well in Padres land today.
Yes, tonight is all well. I'm curious, you're at the game, right? You have to be a little less of a fan than we all are sitting here watching on TV. But at the same time, Sam, you've been with these guys all year. You know them better than most of us because you talk to these guys way more than the most of us. 1-0 again for five innings. I mean, I am just so nervous trying to watch this game. Is it any easier at Wrigley Field?
Well, what do you mean by that? Is it easier because they're on the road?
No, just easier because you're not sweating it out as much as we are. Because
he's asking about you cheering.
Yeah, well, he's not cheering. He can't cheer. But how are your insides before, like, the Manny home run gave us a little breathing room?
Yeah, I mean, I do find, you know, when I've had the opportunity to watch him in L.A. in games like this or watch him in Chicago in games like this, yeah, I mean, it definitely is a different experience for sure. Than watching them at home or watching on TV. You're pretty locked in, I would say, pitch by pitch. So, yeah, I mean, your stomach is kind of in knots, you know, to be honest with you. And you just, it's so different than a normal game, you know, in mid-July in the regular season. As you guys all know, you're hanging on every pitch. So, yes, it is nerve-wracking. You know, I thought for a while today it was really nerve-wracking for me because, you know, they were 0-for-7 with runners in scoring position at one point. And they're clinging on to a 1-0 lead. And I'm sitting there thinking, uh-oh.
Yep.
You know, we're going to see deja vu here. We're going to be talking about these missed opportunities. But thankfully, courtesy of Manny and excellent pitching today, beyond excellent pitching, you know, it didn't matter. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out tomorrow. But, yes, it's nerve-wracking. Stomach in knots, for sure.
You know, Ben Higgins and I watched together a couple of the different San Diego State basketball postseason runs. You know, first and second round Sweet 16 type games. We would sit next to each other in the press row, and we knew we couldn't cheer. But underneath the table, we were kicking each other every time the Aztecs did something good. So, yeah, you know, I know kind of what you're talking about, Sam. All right, you talk to Manny after the game. He had the line of the day. I mean, he had a lot of good lines today. But you ask him, what did you like about, you know, your at-bat there, the one where the home run, and he said, I kind of like the fact that it went over the fence, Sam. He was pretty happy about that. But, look, he needed that. I mean, he's been slumping. I think he was 0-for-12 going back to last year in the playoffs before that swing. And you know, I know, he knew Imanaga was going to throw that splitter, and he just was kind of, you know, lying the trap for him, and he was ready to attack it, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, well, and Imanaga left it up, which I think made all the difference in the world, and Manny was ready for it. And look, to me, he was the guy to watch today, and that was because of, A, just generally how important he is to this team, and it's hard to see them advancing beyond this round and making a deep run if they don't get major contribution from Manny. But you know, it's also, yeah, when you go back to last year, I think you're right. It was either 0-for-11 or 0-for-12, I think, going back to his last four games. In fact, in our new pregame segment, player to bank on, which you can once again catch tomorrow on our pregame coverage. I will say Manny Machado was my player to bank on today because I pointed out that, you know, Manny had not had a hit in a postseason game. I think it was his last games, whatever the offer was. I'm going off the top of my head here.
Right.
You know, he had hit a home run against Imanaga before, and the bottom line was, you know, they need him. And it's hard to see them advancing if they don't get major contribution from him, and thankfully today they did. So it's a big moment for Manny. I thought, you know, Kevin Acey in the post game, we played it here on the post game coverage. You know, I thought he asked a good question, made a good point of, you know, like, look, that's a big moment for Manny, A, because some of the postseason struggles as of late, and also this has been a really grindy second half for him, right? It was not easy, and it did not go well in the macro when you look at the numbers, and it was kind of shocking to see how that second half went after what was such a good first half. So make no mistake about it, it's a big moment for Manny. And hopefully it will propel him forward now into the rest of the post.
Real quick before Scraby asks a question, was the player to bank on segment brought to us by some bank nearby?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. It is a new segment that I've now done for 2 days.
I've never heard that one before, Sam.
Yeah. Let's leave it there because it's escaping my mind, and you can hear it tomorrow.
Good okay. job by the new bank. Okay. We appreciate you guys being a part of the
good
pregame.
Job, Chris, putting them on the spot.
I know, I didn't mean to do that.
Mine's going to be quick, but Sam Levitt is joining us live from Chicago, presented by David P. Shapiro, defense attorneys.
Before you ask a question, can I tell you what I'm doing right now because you'll laugh?
Yes, please. I heard something before you came on the air.
I'm walking around Chicago right now with the great Pedro Gutierrez, one of our Spanish language radio broadcasters. Does a great job. Had a great post game interview himself with Adrian Morejone today, and we are we're searching for dinner right now. So I'm communicating with my hands to Pedro. We were deciding between Thai food or maybe some pizza, so I've been directing him as we go here.
We're going to get you off the phone immediately, Sam.
We're also not going to let you go to Thai food in Chicago when there's pizza.
Don't worry about it. We already had
pizza.
Exactly. Man, the Chicago pizza people are crazy. All right, let me get this in. Sammy Lev joins us live from Chicago, the streets of Chicago, looking for food, presented by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys facing criminal charges. Trust David P. Shapiro and his team, helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Quickly. How difficult on a scale of 1 to 10 was that Fernando catch in the corner?
Well, it was a tough catch. I don't know that you know, a lot of right fielders get to it. You know, it's hard to gauge with Fernando because he makes really difficult things look really easy.
Right.
And he made that look fairly easy by his stand. Look, I think on the scale of Fernando catches, yeah, it was kind of medium range. It was a great play. He got a great jump on it, made a great catch, little leap. But we've seen Fernando make more stunning. So
that's true.
You get spoiled by Fernando because he makes things look very, very easy. And I do think there would be right fielders that do not get to that ball for sure. But I'd put it mid-range for Fernando by his standards.
That's
but obviously,
true.
It was a great play.
Yeah.
I mean, there are plenty of right fielders that do not get to that ball. And that was a big play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get there, you're looking at either two on base and the tying run at the plate, or you're looking at, a run in, and you're looking at the tying run at the plate either way. So, yeah, it's a huge play. The Padres have played very good defense in this series so far, something that's going to have to continue into tomorrow, and we shall see.
All right, Sammy, you got to go, but while you're walking around, real quick, how many people are walking around town right now in the north side of Chicago saying Craig Counsell is an idiot? Aren't you glad you don't have to defend that one on the post-game show, Sam?
Yeah.
I'm glad it happened to somebody else.
It seemed kind of silly to pitch to Manny there when you've got the lefty-lefty matchup.
Yeah.
next, it was a mistake to pitch to him, and they got burned by it. Now, look, their offense also didn't do anything today. Yeah. Credit to the Padres bullpen. They were incredible today, but that's also, if I were doing Cubs post game, yes, I would question the why pitch to Manny there, but I also would say, hey, you know what? You give up three runs, you know, you got to be able to climb that mountain and get over it. So we'll see. Tomorrow's going to be fun. It's going to be nerve-wracking, just like it was today. And hopefully it ends up with champagne and a trip to Milwaukee.
Wherever Sammy Leavitt goes,
the champagne flows.
Have fun tomorrow, Sammy. Have fun,
all right,
buddy.
Guys,
thanks. Have a good dinner,
all
too.
Right, see ya.
Thank you.
All
bye.
Right, Sam Leavitt. As Scraby said, wandering the streets of Chicago.
I've done that before.
Actually sounds kind of fun.
It is if you get in the right neighborhood. I've been in a pretty...
I was going to say, if he's wandering the United Center area of Chicago, I might send out help.
No, I...
That's a tough area.
Here's a drunk Scraby story from about 15 years ago. I got kicked out of a taxi for yelling out the window too much, and he dropped me off in a horrible neighborhood, and I immediately got scared.
You learned your lesson on that.
Yeah, I did.
All right, Yankees 4-3, Red Sox coming up in the ninth against David Bednar. We'll get you a final result after the top of the hour break. More Gwen and Chris ahead, including a visit with Manny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.